Thanks for being in the service this morning. And again, as we record the service, thanks for those who are listening, who will be listening online later today and in the days ahead. Today, we're starting our message series, Unchained, and we're looking at the book of Philippians. And we're actually going to walk through the chapters. We're going to do a section at a time, and we're going to walk through it, and we're going to have a great time together, aren't we? Yes. Okay, four of you are going to have a good time with me. The rest of you, I'm not sure what you do. So as we begin this series from this book of the Bible in the New Testament called the book of Philippians, the book was written by the Apostle Paul, and I just want you to know that, and he wrote a lot of things, but we call it Philippians because it was actually a letter that was written by Paul to the church or the community of Christ followers who lived in the city of Philippi. And had the letter been written to us here in Stratford, it maybe could have been called what? Stratfordians? Is that what we could be called? But it wasn't. Philippians is a little bit easier to say, so that's kind of neat. We're calling our journey together through the contents of the book of Philippians. We're calling it Unchained because Paul wrote it while he himself was literally in chains or in prison for his faith in Rome. And in Rome, he was there in chains for what he lifted up and told about Jesus. And throughout the book of Philippians, he talks about those chains, both literally, how he's in chains, and also symbolically, how he's in chains. And he does that throughout this whole letter that we're going to be looking at over the next 9 weeks. And when he does, I think as we look at this book together and as we study it together, I think the real message that we'll find that he wants to show us from the book of Philippians, he wants to show us today how to live above the chains that sometimes can wrap themselves around us in our lives. Not only to live above the chains, but sometimes to live through the chains and the challenges that may come our way, or sometimes even living with the chains that may be around us and that we have to work with. Because in this life, you will have trials and you will have difficulties, but it's only temporary. And so learning how to live with those chains in such a way that you are you are victorious in your life. And so the Apostle Paul, throughout this book of Philippians, and I'm just sort of laying the foundation here today, he wants us to be able to live in such a way that our lives become unchained in whatever that might be. And I got to tell you, one of the things that attracts me to the gospel, one of the things that has, even after over 35 years, 36, I even forget what it is, that when I was 16 and gave my life to Christ, one of the things that has sustained me so long about being a part of the church, and because sometimes as a pastor you get to see the good and the bad and the ugly. I mean, sometimes it's there, and you know, we don't want to think about that. But what has sustained me through all of those things over the years is that I know that I have a God who's absolutely incredible. He is able to break chains. He has broken chains in my life. He has set me free from so many things. And if he can do it for me, he can do it for you. And I believe with all my heart that as we look at this together, we just want to have that spirit that says within us, with God, nothing is impossible. Let the chains begin to drop off our lives, the chains of financial bondage and fear and bad relationships. Just let the chains begin to fall, and so that we can become fully what God intended us to be. So I get excited about this series of messages, and I'm just looking forward to it as we go together. But in the book of Philippians, there's even much more. It's really a comprehensive set of ideas and principles. The book of Philippians is a comprehensive set of lessons and learnings that help you and I to grow spiritually in our walk with God. And if there's anything I desire for you as we press into the fall of this year and as we move forward, is I want you to have a faith that is not shallow. I don't want you to have a faith that is weak. I want you to have a faith that is deep and strong and mighty and able to bring you through whatever life may throw at you. But to have that kind of faith, we need to recognize it doesn't happen automatically. You're not just going to wake up and go, wow, boy, am I ever spiritual. I'm victorious in so many ways. It doesn't work that way, and we're going to talk about that. And so as we look at this book together, I want you to grow stronger in your walk with Jesus. I want you to have a faith that isn't just sort of scraping the bottom of the barrel. I want you to be alive in your faith, and that if you are alive in a faith, that it'll show through the countenance of your life, and it will show as you go to the marketplace. It'll show as you interact with your children. It'll show in every aspect of your life this faith that is deep and strong the way that it ought to be. The book of Philippians is one of the most practical and helpful books in the Bible. It chases all kinds of big ideas. It talks about living in community. And I don't know if you knew this, but we're supposed to get along with one another. Did you know that? Okay, I mean, it's going to be tough, but, you know, we'll do our best. But the book of Philippians talks about how we do that, how we live in community. It talks about the problem of suffering and how to remain strong in times of suffering. The book of Philippians talks about how God's grace interacts with the way that we live everyday lives, in our relationship that we have with a world that is oftentimes antagonistic and really doesn't like God. The book of Philippians talks about how to navigate that, how to be stronger in spite of all those challenges that may be in front of us. It's also probably one of the most famous books of the Bible, because within the book of Philippians are some of the most memorable lines in Scripture. Now, I don't want to assume today that you know the book of Philippians, and I'm not making that assumption, but maybe some of you have studied it enough that maybe you can complete this passage for me. He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. Good, you can work with me. It won't scare me off. For me to live, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. See, those are great phrases that come out of that book of Philippians, and they're some of the most memorable phrases that people have really memorized over the years. Rejoice in the Lord always, and I will say it again.
Rejoice.
Man, you guys are good. I'm going to give you an A in your Bible. And so on and on it goes. There's all kinds of great truth and great memorable things found within the book of Philippians. But the greatest thing I want you to remember is the truth in here about how you can be set free, unchained, unchained. So let's jump into it. The first couple of verses in Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 to 2, and we're going to start there. It says, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, and I want you to notice this next part. It says, to all the saints, and I'm reading from the New International Version, to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi. We're going to stop there. There's a word there that we need to take time to look at. And Helen loves it when I say this phrase, time to unpack. All right, she loves that phrase when people say, let's unpack this. But there's a word here that we need to unpack and we need to better understand if we're ever going to grow stronger in our spiritual walk with Jesus. Paul, in writing to the Philippians, he calls the people at the church of Philippi, he calls them saints. Wow. I thought that's something you had to apply to the Catholic Church to get, you know, and you had to do some Mother Teresa thing to get that sort of standing. But Paul says to all the believers there at the Church of Philippi, he says that you are saints. And as we look at this passage and as we go into Philippians, we can't simply go past that. We need to stop and realize that in this day and age of so much religious things happening around us, that Jesus Christ still calls his people who put their faith in him, who still ask him to come and to forgive them of their sin, he calls them today saints. Saints. Turn to the person next to you and say, did you know you're a saint? Yeah, you can do it. Yeah. Doesn't that feel awkward? Doesn't that feel awkward? I mean, we know sometimes we say, wow, I could never be a saint, but that's what the Apostle Paul says, is you're a saint. And so when we begin to step into this book and we begin to study the book of Philippians, you can't go past that. As a matter of fact, I think even Mike, when you spoke here a few weeks ago, he talked about our identity in Christ. This really touches on our identity and who we are. Is that when you give your life to Christ, you really become that saint. That's who your identity is. And so one of the most sweeping and dramatic declarations I think you will ever find in Scripture is the fact that every Christian is a saint. And not that you will be or that you might be, but that you are. If you put your faith in God, you're a saint. So from now on, I want you to call me Saint Mark. All right. Oh, that's already taken. All right. It's not happening. It's my wife says it's not happening, so I guess that's the end of that, because she has the final say. But let's look at the meaning of the word saint. The word saint means those who are set apart. That's what the word actually means. And so the moment you commit your life to Christ, and the moment you come to him and ask him to be your forgiver and ask him to be the CEO or the leader of your life, something dramatic begins to happen in your life. The Bible says that positionally, what happened is that you were over here and you were dead, but when Christ comes into your life, your position changed and now you're alive. And that's what makes you a saint. The Bible says at one time in your position, you were far off from God, but now in your position, God is bringing you close to himself and drawing you near. There was a time in your life, in the position of your life, that you were a stranger to God and would have nothing to do with him. But since you've come to Christ, he calls you son. He calls you daughter. That's incredible. And that's your new position. Your position one time is that you were an alien. You were someone that was antagonistic towards the things of God. But now, since you come to Jesus, you are a citizen of God's kingdom. That's just incredible. Just incredible. You were lost. That was your position at one time. But when you asked Jesus to forgive you of your sin, your position changed and you were found. I think that's great. So no matter how you are, no matter who you are, no matter how you live or what you've done or what's in your past, when you came to Christ, forgiveness was yours. Your position changed. You went from being lost to being found. You went from being dead to being alive and so forth. That is an incredible change that happens in all of our lives. And so because of that change, and because of all that, God calls you a saint. A saint. I really recommend you should have your spouse go home and just practice that on one another today. Hey, saint, can you hand me the salt and pepper, you know? I think it's incredible. It's not going to happen. No. I think it's incredible that God would do that. I don't know about you, but I don't, some days and some ways, I don't feel very saintly. But that doesn't change my position. Positionally, God has justified me and set me free. I hope he's done that for you as well. But you know what's exciting about the book of Philippians? It tells us that it doesn't stop there. It doesn't tell us that we become a saint, cross the lines, and boom, you know, the halo comes on, you know, we're a saint. It doesn't stop there. And we need to be reminded as we study the book of Philippians that when you become a Christian, God has a very clear agenda for your life. It isn't just simply to get you across the line and say, there, you were lost, but you're across the line now, you're found. God wants you to grow once you become a believer. God wants you to become stronger in your faith. Dare I say it today is that what's happening within the church are a lot of people who are saying, I believe in Jesus. They changed their position, but their performance still shows an old way of living. Same attitudes, still locked in the same impure thoughts, still locked into old habits. Still having fits of rage and anger, still fighting with a spouse like they always did. God says that's not the way it's supposed to be. You are my saints. I'm changing you, and I'm doing an incredible work in your life, but there's a lot of growing that needs to be done from that point on. Or in other words, you are a saint. Now it's time to live like one. Really. And so we need to realize that God is in the business of trying to get us to realize not only are we changing our position, but we need to change our performance and the way we live our lives. It's kind of like this way. I'm not a big sports fan, but every now and again I come across an illustration that I can tolerate. But the NBA, when they have their playoffs and when their playoffs are underway, let's imagine for a moment a coach came up to you and said, you know what? You made the squad. You made the squad. And you're thinking, how can I get on the squad? I don't even know how to play basketball. And so They said, no, you're officially a member of a world champion basketball team. Here's your uniform. Here's your locker. Here's your paycheck. Oh, yes, the paycheck. Everything you would want to be that NBA professional basketball player. They're giving it to you. And they say to you, don't worry. Your place on the roster has nothing to do with your basketball abilities. Oh, that's even better because you don't want to see me play basketball. All right. And so, but here's what they want you to do. And they say, you're on the team, but now that you're on the team, we want to develop you into a professional level basketball player. And see, essentially, that's what God wants to do in our lives. He says, you're on the team. You can't earn it. You can't buy it. You can't do anything on the team. It's a gift that I'm giving to you. But now that you're on the team, I want you to grow stronger, healthier. I want your performance and your attitudes and your behavior and your old way of thinking to drop away. I want you not just get stuck in your new position and become a nominal believer, but I want you to be alive. And I think the church today is suffering because people are saying, I believe in Jesus, and they stop. We need to grow stronger and healthier, and we need to do that. And that brings us to the second part of this passage that I want to draw to your attention, is that God says he's doing a good work. He's doing a good work. Notice in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, he says, and I read it for you earlier, that he who began... being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. And again, let's stop there because you can't go past that. When I read that passage, again, I hope you're catching the big idea that I'm trying to give to you today is that, yes, your position changed when you came to Jesus. Yes, you went from being lost to being found. You went from being guilty to not guilty. Your position changed, but God wants you to grow in your relationship with him. He wants you to move beyond that. And that's why it says in this passage, that he who began a good work in you, he wants to carry it on. He wants to carry it on. That's the big idea. And so when you read that scripture, we need to be reminded that, and I've sort of talking about this morning, is that he not only wants to declare you a saint, but he also wants you to be made into a saint. In other words, it's a work that's not done. How many of us, God's still working on us? Yeah, absolutely. And I'm not shy to say that. And so the scripture is telling us through the book of Philippians, God wants to declare you saint. He wants to change you from being guilty to not guilty. He wants to forgive you your sins, but he also wants to keep doing something more in your relationship. I cannot tell you the number of believers I've met who have stopped growing in their faith and they are dying. And Christianity for them has become just having enough to make them miserable and everyone around them miserable. I believe God wants us to be healthy and vibrant saints, overflowing with joy, living the abundant life that he has for us. But it's up to you. It's up to me. So God is saying in his word, and in particular in the verse in Philippians 1:6, he reminds us that God who is faithful, that made you a saint, he is also faithful to continue that transforming power and work in your life, and that he will never, never stop until the job is done. Thankfully, that he will never give up on you. He will never give up on me. He's completely committed to transforming your life. You've got maybe habits you're struggling with, impure thoughts, maybe attitudes that you're wrestling with, maybe all kinds of chains. God will never give up on you until every chain is broken. It's broken. So, as we move through this passage, first of all, I want to ask you, has God begun a work in your life? Have you asked him to forgive you of your sins? Have you asked him to move you from being guilty to not guilty? Every one of us need to make this decision. Have you made that decision? If you were put on trial today for being a Christ follower, would there be enough public evidence to convict you in a court of law? I think that's a very sobering question. And I don't ask that question to try and corner you or corner myself or anybody. But I think it's a great self-evaluating question to ask about our Christianity. Many people today are far from God. I have people come up to me, even here in Stratford, say, you know what, I'm spiritual, but I'm not religious. And it's kind of an interesting thing that a lot of people believe in. And so my response is, but really, are you even spiritual? Because in truth, there is no such thing as a spiritual life. And I want you to hear me when I say this. There is no such thing as a spiritual life. There's just life. And in that life, are you going to live it for God or are you not? There isn't this thing apart from your life called spiritual life. It's life. And are you going to live it for Jesus or are you not? And so we need to ask ourselves the question, has that work begun? Am I in that place where I ought to be? And second of all, am I cooperating with God today? Am I growing? Am I cooperating with Him? Or am I resisting God? Has God put His finger on something in our lives that we should change? Is there a habit in our marriage, in our home, that should change, but we're saying, I'm not going to do it? Do you realize enough resisting becomes rebellion? And God takes that pretty serious. And so I want to encourage you today as my church family to cooperate with God and let Him begin to complete the work that He wants to do in our lives. I believe we have incredible days ahead of us as individuals if we would not resist God, but we would cooperate with Him and say, God, I need to change and I need You to do that transforming power in my life. I want to say this morning. You do not have enough willpower. You do not have anything in your life that can change you. But when you, by faith, put yourself before God, He can transform your life. Do you know the number of people I've met who said, you know what, I keep doing the same thing over and over, Pastor. I have the same bad habit I keep doing over and over. And next time I'm not going to do it. Next time I'm going to resist that and I'm not going to do it. Then boom, they fall again. They try to use their own willpower. Folks, your willpower will never transform you and change you the way you ought to be. It's only as you put yourself before a living God and trust Him that you will change. And that's a whole other message in how we do that, how we use the disciplines of prayer and Bible reading and meditating on God's Word. And as we put ourselves before God, He's the one in turn changes us. I can't change myself. So today I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to grow stronger in your faith. There's some myths that I want to share with you, then we're going to be done here today. And you see, spirituality, and this is one of the myths, spirituality is not something that just happens. Again, I said it already, you don't wake up and all of a sudden, you know, you're spiritual. I love the comedian, I don't think he's around any longer, but and my Russian's a little weak today, so just stick with me. His name is Yakov Smirnov. And so Yakov, great friend of mine, not really. He joked in one of his comedian acts. He says, when I came to the United States from Russia, he said he wasn't prepared for the incredible variety of instant products available in American grocery stores. He says, on my first shopping trip, I saw powdered milk. You just add water and you get milk. He says, then I saw powdered orange juice. You just add water and wow, you get orange juice. He says, and then I saw baby powder. What a country, he said. What a country. Sometimes in trying to live out our Christian lives, we believe all we do is we just add God, and that's all there is to it. But I submit to you that as incredible as it is to have God change your eternal destiny when you come to Him, as incredible as it is for Him to reorientate your priorities and give you a new life purpose, as incredible as it is that there is power that you've never had before that you can now tap into and the work of God in your life, as incredible as all that it is, it's the intimacy and the walk people want to have with God doesn't happen on the deeper level simply because you add God to your life. You need to be willing to be led along by the Holy Spirit, and you need to grow in your life. And so if you're going to have chains fall off, you're going to have habits change, if your character is going to change, if a character flaw is going to be changed, you need to realize that what's got to happen is that you've got to turn your life over to God. Just before the service, I was talking with Dean and Joel, and I think both of them golf, and I think others golf. Mike, I know you golf. But I'm thinking about golfing too, and I want to get really good at it. And I said to them, well, listen, if I really want to get good at golf, is it okay that I just buy golfing magazines? And if I come and hang out at the clubhouse, that'll make me a really good golfer, won't it? Or what if I get the golfer's clothing with a little tiger on it or a little alligator or something? That'll make me a really good golfer. No, it doesn't work that way. If you want to be a good golfer, you got to put in the disciplines. You got to put in the work. You got to get out there and you got to hit the balls. You've got to have lessons. You got to learn. You got to go through all those things, hopefully. It's the same way in our Christian walk. You know, we don't simply grow more spiritual simply because we hang around a church. We don't grow more spiritual just because we attend a church service. We don't grow more spiritual just because we hear people talk about the Bible. The way you grow stronger and healthier, more vibrant in your faith, and that's what I want for you and nothing less, is when you really pour yourself into it. When you realize that just being exposed to religious or Christian things really doesn't mean anything. Familiarity doesn't really mean anything. And we can talk about God all day long, but it doesn't change anything and it doesn't help us to get to know God. What helps us to get to know God is when we say yes and begin to give ourselves to Him and let Him begin to make the changes in our life. You and I are saints. And once we become those saints, we need to start developing our relationship. And here's a statement that I put in your notes that I want you to take home with you today. Who you are is not something waiting to be found. It's something waiting to be created. And what I mean by that is that you've got to put some work into becoming the believer that God wants you to be. And if you don't put that work in it, you will never discover the incredible God and the relationship He wants to have with you. You will remain nominal and empty and shallow. And so who you are is not something waiting to be found. But who you are and what God wants you to be is something that's waiting to be created as you begin to give yourself over to being all that God wants you to be. And I close with this story. There is an old legend from the sheep country of England, and Helen loves sheep, so she loves this story. And from the sheep country, from the sheep country of England, there were two men who were arrested and convicted of stealing sheep. The magistrate sent them to prison for several years and decreed that the letter S was to be branded or burned into their foreheads with a hot iron so that they would never, ever forget their crimes. And so when the jail terms ended, one of the two left the area in which the incident happened, and he was never heard from again. The second one dedicated and gave his life to God. He decided that he was going to remain in the community and began to serve the people of his community that he had done this against. So as the years passed, and because of his servanthood and because of his acts of service to others, everyone in that community fell into his debt because of the ways in which he freely gave himself to those who were in times of sickness, how he helped families through times of crisis, and how he helped people in times of difficulty with their work. And soon, no one remembered or even spoke of the earlier crime of his sheep stealing. They spoke only of all that he had given out of a heart of love and a heart of grace. One day, two small boys saw the now aged and older man pass by, and they asked their mother why he had an S on his forehead. And the mother told them that she really didn't know. But if I had to guess, it stood for saint. What's the S on our foreheads? What would it stand for? Will God be able to see that S clearly, that we're living for Him? I want to encourage you through this series of messages to go deeper in your faith. I want to encourage you to put aside the elementary truths that sometimes we just hang to and go deeper in our faith. I want to encourage you to discover a God who's waiting to show you incredible things. When God says in his word that he does exceedingly abundantly more, that's the kind of God that I know. And as a church today, as we move forward, we are going to reach our city. We're going to reach 1/10 of our city for Jesus Christ. I make that a declaration of faith. And by God's grace and by his power, the God that I know, who is able to do exceedingly abundantly more, he will do it. Not me. He will. So folks, today as I conclude this message, what would people say about your life? What would they say about your relationship with Jesus? Is it growing stronger? Are you further ahead than you were a week ago, a month ago, a year ago? I know too many believers today who gave their life to Jesus and never went any further. They positionally changed, but their performance is still the same. And I believe the book of Philippians is saying, you know what? Now that you're a saint, you need to live like it. Perform like it. And let the power of God be seen in and through your life. Let's stand together. Lord, this morning, thank you for your word, and I ask that your word would find its place, find its target, find the truth that it needs to ring true in each of our individual lives. Lord, thank you for what you're going to do in the days ahead. Thank you for your power, for your presence. Thank you for the way you are going to guide us and shepherd us. But Lord, more than anything, help us, Lord, not only to be declared saints, but Lord, help us to keep developing, to keep growing, that God, you will continue that transformation and change in each of us. Lord, today as we listen to this message, maybe something popped in our minds, maybe a habit, maybe an attitude. Maybe at home when no one's looking, we find it easy to be impatient with those that are around us, but with a stranger, we seem to find patience. God, help us to have public and private lives that are the same. Help us, Lord, to be a people that people look at us and say, wow, there's something different about you. Lord, help us as saints to live like saints and really, Lord, to see the power of your word unleashed in all of our lives. Help the chains to drop off, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.